whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Brought to you by Rock Antenna, Germany's number one rock radio station.
A special welcome to all Rock Antenna community. Today I'm here with Matt from Bullet for My Valentine. It's nice to have you here. So how are things going at the moment?
Yeah, things are going great. Thank you. It's been quite a quiet 9 months for myself and the boys. You know, we finished our last show of the last cycle in Japan in December last year. So since January to now, we've just kind of been home, chilling, enjoying the time off, being with family and friends. And it's been fun. But now we're kind of ready to get back to work and focus in towards 2025. And yeah, just going to get in the studio next week, start rehearsing, doing some writing and get the machine back up and rolling, man. So it's been nice to have some time off, but we're ready to get back to work now, you know?
Oh, really nice. So with your debut album, The Poison, you immediately kind of nailed it. So how has everything changed within the 20 years? And also, how do you look back at those 20 years?
Yeah, obviously that album, The Poison, when it came out in 2005, it was something that I don't think anyone anticipated of how big it was going to be, pretty much everywhere on the planet. You know, it was an album that we made, which, you know, it was our debut album. We had no real experience of doing that kind of stuff. You know, we'd had an opportunity to write and record an EP, which is great. It just opened the door to the world for us. You know, it was just wild. You know, to have that kind of success and that kind of ascendancy of a career on your debut album is not something that happens to a lot of bands. So it kind of took us by surprise, but we just rolled with it and we had fun, and it was chaotic and it was weird and it was scary, but it was all those things that made that era of the band so much fun and I have so many amazing memories. And, you know, a lot has happened since then in the world and in the band's career, but that was the defining moment which led us to have a career that spans over 20 years now. So incredibly grateful for everyone that embraced it back then and to people who are still discovering it now to this day. You know, there's a lot of people that are only hearing it for the first time recently, and that will be a forever thing. That's how it works. You know what I mean? People weren't born when it came out and now 20 years old. It's crazy. It's just a lot's happened in 20 years. You know, you don't really think about it until you stop and reflect. So that's kind of what this moment is all about for us. It's stopping, reflecting, and trying to celebrate what that album means to us and what it means to the Bullet fans, you know?
Yeah. So for me, I was six when it came out. So
there you go. Exactly. It's weird, man. You know, it's an album that seems to be standing the test of time and still making waves to this day for people that are discovering it, you know? So it's an incredible feeling for me to hear that from people, you know?
Yeah. But before, you did Metallica and Nirvana covers. So why do you decide on doing your own music? How?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you start picking up a guitar or playing the drums or wanting to be a singer or anything like that when you're like 12 years old, the most natural and simple thing to do is learn other people's songs, you know? And I think that's how every band and musician's done it since music has existed. You know, you get attracted to a certain sound or a certain band, and then you kind of go, I want to do that. So then you pick up an instrument and learn it, and that kind of what defines you as a musician then, you know? It was just, for me, bands like Metallica, Nirvana, Guns N' Roses, Machine Head, Def Leppard, they were all the bands that I listened to when I was 12 years old to 14 years old, and they were the bands that inspired me to want to just pick up an instrument, really, you know? And then, obviously, since then, you go on your own journey, and you try and be creative. A lot of people don't. A lot of people are happy just to have it as a hobby. But if you want to have it as a career, you know, you got to write your own stuff. And it gets to that point then where you start dabbling and trying to write riffs and then eventually to songs. And it takes time and it's a skill to do that. So it takes a lot of time. And I just wanted to make a career out of it. I wanted to be a rock star like my hero, James Hetfield. And, you know, and I know that the only way to do that was to write your own stuff. So that's what we did.
Nice. So I don't know if you remember the time when you recorded the album. So is there any unusual or funny story that happened during the making of the album that you remember?
Yeah, I remember quite, you know, it was over 20 years ago, but I still remember most of it pretty well, you know. I think the main thing that people wouldn't know, which I have talked about over the last couple of days, because I've done a lot of speaking to people like yourself, and when we went in to make into the actual studio to make The Poison. We only had about 7 songs. So we had to write the rest of it whilst we were there recording the 7 songs, which was, looking back, like such a crazy way to do things. But it was the only way that we could do it, because we didn't have the songs, and we kind of blagged our way through that album. You know, we didn't have enough songs. We wrote whilst we were recording. But I think that added to the excitement and the intensity and the rawness of the record. You know, we were just writing and being creative and being fearless and being confident. And we just felt unstoppable. You know, it was kind of scary to not have a full album whilst you're going in to write a full album. But it's not something we let kind of get to us. You know, we were so young and inexperienced that we didn't care. We were like, we're just going to do it as we go then, as if it was the most normal thing in the world to do, which it isn't. But back then, we didn't know any different, you know, and that's what we did. So, yeah, so I think the thing that might surprise the people most about the album is it didn't exist when we went in to make it.
Nice. So what have been the inspirations for The Poisons, or The Poison for you?
Honestly, that's the only bit that's blurry, you know. I remember going into the studio and what it was like to record the song. Like a lot of writing the songs, I don't remember. You know, there's only a kind of a 2 or 3 that I specifically remember sitting down and writing. The rest of it just seemed to exist. I can't really explain it, you know. It was because it was the debut album. A lot of the stuff that ended up on there was ideas and stuff from many, many years before Bullet was even a thing. So we're going back over 25 years on some of those songs at this point. So it's quite hard to remember all of it and the inspirations. But I just wanted something that was dark. I wanted something that was relatable at the time as well. I didn't really have a lot of trauma in my life to put into the music. You know, I was just a regular kid. I didn't have a bad upbringing. I was never in trouble. I didn't have any kind of trauma that was inspired dark music for most people. So I was just writing whatever I thought was interesting, whatever sounded good, almost like storytelling, you know? And that's how I approached most of that record, was just to write stuff that I thought was cool.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So have you anything planned for your anniversary with your band? Or do you just...
Well, we've got the main thing is the tour that's coming out. We've got a tour on sale with us and Trivium, and we're both celebrating 20 years of our debut albums. So we've teamed up to do a co-headline tour in celebration of that, which is great. And we're taking that on tour throughout the UK, Europe, and there's a lot of things going to be announced shortly. We're doing a lot of reissues of The Poison, a vinyl box set, special box set with a bunch of cool stuff, limited run stuff that only the super fans are going to want to have. Like exclusive merchandise, one-off runs for the tour of merchandise that we're, you know. So there's a lot of stuff happening behind the scenes. And, you know, early 2025, we're going to be getting on the road and getting on the stage and celebrating the album and all these things, cool things that come with it, you know, for the fans.
Yeah. Is there one song that means the most to you, kind of, and why?
There's a few on that record for very similar reasons, but I think the one that jumps out the most, it's probably not going to surprise people, is Tears Don't Fall. It's kind of the song of that record which exploded worldwide, and it was a kind of a gateway song to a lot of people, to bring them to Bullet for My Valentine, but also just to metal music in general. You know, we're a band that we get told a lot that we're the band that got that person into heavy metal, you know, and I think it's songs like Tears Don't Fall did that. You know, it's heavy, it's technical, but it's undeniably catchy and anthemic. And, you know, it's a song that's stood the test of time. And even like yesterday, I had a plaque delivered to me, which was like for a UK certification of 400,000 units of Tears Don't Fall sold as a single alone here in the UK. So, yeah, so that song it's done amazing things for my life, for the band's career. And, yeah, it's an important one for me, you know, and it's a fan favorite. It's undeniably a fan favorite.
Nice. So is there a moment in your career that you often look back to? Maybe a highlight or also a low light?
I kind of don't look at, we've been very fortunate to have many, many, many highlights, like ridiculously amazing things that we never thought would be possible when we were growing up. Not met so many lows, but there have been a couple. But I think, you know, we don't tend to kind of dwell on that kind of stuff. You just, you know, kind of focus on the future, but like on our debut album, getting invitations to play with like our idols, like Metallica and Guns N' Roses, stuff like that. You know, that's kind of an Iron Maiden. We did those three bands, supporting those three bands off our debut album. You know, it's like fairy tale stuff that still doesn't feel real to this day. So, you know, we've ticked off so many amazing boxes that we never thought we'd be able to do. And I think touring with those bands, especially at that point in our career, we were just so young, naive and experienced that, you know, we just didn't really know what was going on. We were just all of a sudden going on tour with all these people that were the reason why we were in a band in the first place. And at such an early point in your career, it was just mind blowing. You know, it's just ridiculous things.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Yeah.
So within the time, have you developed any rituals before gigs that you do as a band to kind of calm down and focus?
I wouldn't say that rituals and stuff. It's just more normal stuff that you would do in any band, really. But it's just kind of all four of us have our moments where we just we'll go our separate ways about an hour, half hour before the show. I have to do my vocal routine that I use to warm up. Jamie does his. Padge and Jace get in room together and they just riff and jam some songs live in a rehearsal space backstage. And then 10 minutes before we come together, we have a bit of a hug and it's very calm. There's no one shouting and screaming or high-fiving or any kind of nonsense like that people might think before a metal show. It's very calm. It's very peaceful and it's very focused. And, you know, the lights go down and off we go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you prefer small gigs or big venues?
I wouldn't say I prefer either. They both have their charm, you know, like being in a small room with people who are like up close and personal, very minimal production, chaos, sweat, heat. There's something very rock and roll and intimate and raw about that kind of environment. But then on the other side of the spectrum, when you play in huge arenas and festivals, you get to bring a huge production and you get to see a sea of humans in front of you. And, you know, so they're very, very different experiences, but I wouldn't say prefer one over the other because they're both incredible things to experience being on that side of the stage. You know, it's not something that a lot of people get to do. So to have that is great. You know, I love the punk rock rawness of being in a small club and being up close and personal and sweating and being able to smell the person in front of you. But, you know, wanting to be one of the biggest bands of all time, I love putting on a huge production with pyro and staging and screens and all that stuff, which you can't do in clubs, you know. So I love it all. I think, you know, just get me on that stage and I come to life, you know, in whatever the environment. I just love it all.
Yeah. So you have been making music for more than 25 years. So how do you still manage to work as well or work so well as a band together? Because I don't know if you have any secret that it still works because, yeah. We all know that not every band is...
Yeah, I don't think there's a secret. Everyone does things their own way, and being in a band, there's so many ways of songwriting and having a dynamic. You know, I just like to... For our band, I just like to take charge of the majority of the songwriting. It's just so much easier to have one person who's focused and has the style, you know, like from the Poison... I was the songwriter of the band, you know, so my songwriting is in the songs and people can hear it. And I think that's what creates an identity of a band, which is super important. So for me, it's just about wanting my songwriting to evolve and change. And as long as I'm like excited about writing, I'll keep doing it. If I feel like I'm regurgitating stuff or it's boring or oh, we've done that before, you know, I don't find that challenging enough to do. And I think, you know, relying on a formula from the past is easy, but it's also quite dangerous to do. You know, I think as a songwriter and a creative person, I like each moment to be as different and as unique and as in the moment as it can be. You know, so I think that's what keeps me motivated all these years later is just discovering new things that make me excited as a songwriter and as a musician, you know. But I think diversity for me is a key part of that.
So one last question. What do you like the most about touring?
Well, it's being able to travel the world and do it in a way where I don't have to pay for it. it's one of those perks of being in a touring rock band that probably 80 to 90% of the places that I've been to with Bullet Five Valentine, I never would have had the opportunity to go to just as a normal person. You know, I would have gone on holidays and experienced other parts of the world. Absolutely, no doubt. But, you know, doing what I've done in the band and seeing so many different parts of the same country is only possible when you do something like I do. You know, you wouldn't do it in any other form of life or employment, I guess, you know? It's like when we go to the US, for example, we'll do like 40, 50 cities. You know, if you go to America on holiday, you go to like Orlando or Miami or LA, and that's what you, and it's great. You know, you get to see a little bit of the country. But I've seen pretty much the entire country, which is not something I ever thought I would do. You know, I've been to Russia like 4 or 5 times, and Novosibirsk and all these mad places in Russia, and Ukraine and Japan and the Philippines. And it's just crazy. You know, it's like being able to travel the world and see the world and actually do it as part of what I do as my job is just such an amazing privilege, you know? Incredible.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely. So thank you for your time.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and your support. Appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Whole lot of talk. The interviews that rock. Subscribe to our channel for more rocking podcasts.